Welcome to City Talk with Sabrina Bangle and Lee Bettis.
So here it is. It's once again Friday. It's another beautiful day in the city of New Bern. And yes, you are live right now with Lee and Sabrina. It's time for City Talk. And today we've got a great show. We're excited.
You say that every week.
I know I do, because we do have great shows.
Oh, all right.
It is what it is. So today, our special guest is New Bern Police Chief Gallagher, and we're so glad to have him with us, and welcome to City Talk, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're really, really glad to have you here, and Lee is, I'm going to tell you right now, Lee is really disappointed.
I am disappointed.
Lee is so disappointed. The first thing he said, gosh, no. He said, I'm so disappointed. I said, what's wrong? He said, he doesn't have an Irish accent. And I said to him, do I have an Italian accent?
You got the Italian attitude.
I got the Italian accent.
Every day you got the Italian attitude. Hey, Officer Crumpke, I'm down on my luck.
Yes, I do.
No baton. Not even a gun.
Yes. No gun today.
No gun today. No, you know.
Chip Hughes carries his gun. He has his big silver revolver he likes to carry.
You know, everybody has to do their own thing. You know, I guess. It is what it is. You know, and that's okay. I'm good with it. As long as when it counts, it's there. That's all that matters, right?
I learned something new before the show. Chief came from Virginia Beach.
Okay. He sure did. And we're going to find out about all that. I just want to take a few minutes, though, as we open up the show today, to pay my deepest respects and sympathy to the family of Reggie Frazier is the son of Lavonia Pat. She's really known as Pat Porter Frazier, who was the first African-American model for Pepsi-Cola. So in the 50s, this beautiful woman did the first ads that featured an African-American for Pepsi. You know, Pepsi was a very forward, pioneering type company back in the 50s, in that they hired African-American salespeople and really worked in that venue, and I'm just really proud of that fact. But anyway, she modeled for them. We have a picture of her in the Pepsi store. We also have items with her image on it from the actual ad that she did, and unfortunately she passed away this week. And we just want to express our deepest sympathies to her. She was really a pioneer.
Was she a New Bernian?
She was a New Bernian. So interestingly enough, she was in New York. She was modeling in New York, and she met Mr. Reginald Frazier, her husband. And he was an attorney here in New Bern, and they settled here in New Bern. So she lived the rest of her life here in New Bern, but after she finished modeling, she became a teacher. She went into education, and she really impacted the lives of New Bern students for years in our school system. And she was well-loved in this community. You know, interestingly enough, I talked to her about a month ago. Her son, Reggie Jr., had called me, and we chatted about a few things, and he said, will you speak to Mama? I said, of course I'll speak to Mama. And she got on the phone, and we had some great conversations. You know, of course, we've had her down at the Pepsi store. And, you know, Pepsi, when they were here with their meetings, they celebrated her. And she was a wonderful woman, just a wonderful, wonderful legacy for future generations. And we really mourn her passing. A shout out to Sharon Bryant, who is the director of African American culture at Tryon Palace, and she does handle all of that. She was a dear, dear, dear friend. She was like a daughter, really, to Mrs. Frazier, and I'm very thankful for her that she has kept in touch with me and given me all the information. Her funeral will be on Tuesday, and she is laying in rest at Oscar's Mortuary with the Dove family. So, again, our deepest condolences to her. We have put a little letter in our window. If you go by the Pepsi store, you'll see the portrait of her ad.
I'm going to do that.
In there. Yeah, please do. And a little letter of condolences from the birthplace of Pepsi to the Frazier family. But I did want to mention that this morning and celebrate her life. And just, you know, very thankful that she lives here in New Bern. Again, we have so many firsts in this community. Chief, you'll learn about that. But, you know, New Bern, not only the first state capital, you know, which was really important for the city of New Bern, but everything. So then we had the first bank, the first post office, first you know, money was printed here. We actually had the first registered nurse in the country came from New Bern. And again, you know, so
we have the first Presbyterian church.
We do have the first. We have the first Baptist church.
We have First Street.
The first African-American police officer to work in New York City, Jesse Battle, came from New Bern.
Yeah. You know,
really?
Isn't that?
Yes.
Yes. Very interesting. So we've got, our history is just incredible. So when we talk about great history, you now become part of that great history in being the leader of our police department. We are, is it 97 strong or what is our sworn officers?
Well, hopefully, if you vote correctly, it'll be 92.
92, okay. Okay, and then you have staff and everything. So you have 100 plus people in this department.
118 and a half.
Okay, and you know.
The dog?
No.
The dog.
Part-time employee. Oh.
And that's, well, that's the animal control officer who is our part-time. And I'm very thankful that we have that person. But anyway, welcome. We're
Thank
so
you.
Glad to have you. And I think it's exciting. And we really wanted to talk to you today about your vision for Thank New Bern PD. And, you know, also tell us a little bit about where you came from. And I'm a firm believer it's not about where we've been, but where we're going. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, where you came from and now your vision for our city.
Sure. Thank you. And if I could throw a shameless plug.
Throw it.
27 years ago today, I married my wife. So Ooh. We are celebrating an anniversary. Not that I have any belief that she's listening on Facebook because I didn't tell her.
Well, she can listen to the rebroadcast tonight on radio.
There you go. So, honey, I love you and happy anniversary.
Well, what are you guys doing?
Well, we'll go out to dinner tonight. Nice little restaurant. And I don't want to plug any restaurant, so that one right there is one of our favorites as well. But we'll go out to dinner, and then we're going to spend the weekend. I want to think Cherokee Casino or
out
way out west that we're going out there.
Yeah, it's Cherokee. Yeah, they have a casino. That's you're talking 8 hours. That's a far haul.
Well,
beautiful out there though.
No, I cashed in some airline miles, so we're flying.
Okay, good for you. Where are you going to fly into Charlotte? I guess or flying.
We're flying to Charlotte and then to Asheville and then rent a car
and then go from there.
I don't mind the driving, but 27 years of marriage told me, listen to my wife.
It takes that long?
Cash in the airline miles. And
Kelly, there is hope. I will listen to you.
Okay, so speaking from experience, 41 years of marriage, you're absolutely right.
Listen to your wife. Yeah, I mean, that's why you cannot not listen to you.
I know. Well, yeah, I'm sure I hear how it is. So you happy anniversary to, and your wife's first name?
Millicent.
So, Millicent, happy anniversary to you. I know you're listening, so
of course.
I look forward to getting to know you better, and I'm just so glad you all are in our community.
Well, thank you. I can tell you back in maybe it was September, October of last year, the announcement for the vacancy of the chief of police came up, and I'm sitting in my comfortable recliner in Virginia Beach, and my wife is sitting in her comfortable recliner, and she looks at me, and she says, "What do you know about New Bern?" And I said, "Well, honey, remember when we went to Onslow Beach and Camp Lejeune a couple years ago? Well, actually 10 years ago. I said, we drove by and go, look, honey, that's New Bern. I said, that's all I know about New Bern." And I asked her, "Why are you asking me this?" She said, "They're looking for a chief of police." And after 31 years of what I do, I wanted to expand my professional growth, and I said, why don't we drive down to New Bern? It's a three-hour drive. Let's kick the tires, and if New Bern is a dumpster fire and just a hot mess, then we'll drive back to Virginia Beach and call it a day. And we showed up, and it was just before Mumfest, and I understand it was a much
slimmed down
version of Mumfest, but we didn't know that. And we're walking around this beautiful town. Very historic. We had a great food experience, which is important in my household. we met wonderful people. We would walk into shops and speak to the shop owners, and they were just Southern hospitality at its finest. And I remember standing on a corner right down the street looking up, and I said to my wife, "Do you think that's true?" What I was referring to was home of Pepsi.
Oh, it's true. It's true. You know it's true.
I said, she says, do you think they actually invented Pepsi in that store? Come to find out, yes. In fact, they did. Sabrina told me that a couple weeks ago.
Brad's drink.
Right. And
right there in that spot.
So we drove back to Virginia Beach, and we talked about what a wonderful place it would be if given the opportunity. So I applied and, you know, just blessed with the confidence of the city manager and others who have given me the opportunity to lead a wonderful organization. The New Bern Police Department is accredited through CALEA. Now, a lot of people don't know what that means. Very, very few departments in this country. There's 18,000 police departments in this country, and there's only slightly less than 1,000 that are actually accredited. So I would ask you, would you go to a dentist that wasn't accredited?
I have to. I can't afford a real dentist.
Or send your children to a college that isn't accredited? And most people would say no. But this agency, like many others, well, let me restate that, like very few others, are actually accredited through accreditation through CALEA and have been so for five cycles. They are a flagship agency. And
is five cycles meaning 5 years in a row?
That means five. The cycles are every 3 years.
Oh, okay, for 15
so
years.
So for at least 15 years.
You remember.
That was Chief Palumbo.
Yes, you remember. We went there, yes. And he had started that. He actually had a full-time person just doing nothing but keeping up on accreditation.
Yes, in fact, Mary Trude, who was the accreditation manager,
right.
I met Mary, and Mary, if you're listening, please come by the police headquarters because you know, I'd love to see you and talk to you again. But Mary was instrumental in helping me when I was an accreditation manager in Virginia Beach. So I was a brand new accreditation manager, and she actually joined the Virginia CALEA pack. As she was the only North Carolinian that was in our pack, and she was a mentor of mine in terms of accreditation. You know, she knew it inside and out.
Were you the chief in Virginia Beach, or
I was a deputy chief in Virginia Beach?
Then what does that do?
Well, in our organization, we had slightly just about 820 officers. So it was divided into four divisions. One of which is the Civilians Support Services Division, and I was over investigation. So I had roughly 250 full-time staff that worked for me. So I had forensics. The standard detective bureau, and also vice and narcotics.
How large a population is Virginia Beach?
Just south of 500,000, 473,000.
Man, I had no clue. I had no. Well, I guess the base really, having the big Navy base there really brings a lot of people.
Yes, that is true. And in fact, for every battle group, so a battle group consists of one aircraft carrier and then all the support ships, equates to $1 billion in the economy of Hampton Roads.
Amazing.
$1 billion. And they have four battle groups in Norfolk. So it's ginormous. So I'm an Army veteran.
Oh, I was going to ask because you said you went to Onslow Beach. I was hoping, Marine.
No, I'm an Army veteran, and I spent three decades in Navy Town, USA. And then I come down to Marine Corps country, which is fine. You know, we all march under the same flag. But I don't see very many Army veterans around, but that's okay. I'll carry the flag.
He got one right here.
Oh, there we go.
So, Steve, you're an Army veteran?
He's gonna put
in a Marine Corps town? Does General Broughton know this?
This is our state representative, Steve Tyson. Chief Gallagher.
Hey, Tyson,
thank you.
Welcome to Newbern.
Thank you, sir.
So, you know, you've obviously come from a major, what I'm going to say, a major police department to local yokel one when you think about the number of people you serve. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be the best and brightest. And I think we've really done that through accreditation and achieving that in there. So you're here now. You've been hired. Going for what's your vision for New Bern, and what do you think we need to do as a police department and as a community? One, to keep our citizens safe, because that's first and foremost, but to provide the services that our citizens want as well.
Absolutely. And let me start off by saying this. Coming into New Bern, I'm filling some very large shoes. Chief Summers was an amazing chief in terms of his appreciation of 21st century policing strategies. And much of that involves community engagement, building police legitimacy, advancing transparency to our community. So coming in, I'm not reinventing the wheel. I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm not fixing anything that was broken in the agency. So my vision is to take what Chief Summers has created and advance that. I have, in the 47 days I've been here, tried as best as I could to get out into the community to infuse myself with the residents. I drive through Craven Terrace and Duffy Field. I get out of my car. I approach citizens. I have conversations with citizens. And I have come to find that they love their police department. They want to see police officers. At the end of the day, American policing, my philosophy and the philosophy of the New Bern Police Department is this. We will measure success on two basic fundamental principles. One is the absence of crime. It is critically important that we are a leading force in reducing and eliminating crime. But the other is the presence of justice. We have seen in our history, not just American history, but the history of American policing, in which the presence of justice was not operationalized in all citizens. And let's just be honest. People of color were not treated with dignity and respect, were not given constitutional rights as our founding fathers have stated. Every person has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and government has the absolute obligation to ensure that. We as a profession did not provide that to all citizens. This is 2021, and we as a profession have strived for the past three decades to try to build a new reality for all of our citizens, and we still have challenges. So every day we come to work. Every day we try to create yet more positive culture within the men and women that serve this community and try to provide all of our citizens with an understanding that we are here for their benefit.
Protect and serve.
Protect and serve. 100%.
Well, you know what I saw? I was living in New York when the towers went down. In New York, the day after the towers went down, everything changed. And policing changed. And I watched a sort of a buildup of a militarization of the police post 9/11. I don't know if you've seen that, but as a defense attorney, I watched, you know, you went from sort of community policing to a kind of a militarization, which, and that militarization seems to have alienated, you know, it's us against them kind of thing. And I like to hear that, you know, it's not us against them. We are you, and together we can create justice. And you know, and that I'm a defense attorney.
But this disrespect.
I won't hold that against you.
Yeah, this disrespect for police. You know, I see it all the time in New York because I'm tuned into the New York stations because it's my home. I just can't believe the way people treat the. I mean, throwing stuff at them for no reason. I mean, policemen's on patrol and they're throwing stuff and, throwing things at their cars, and the policemen just have to walk away from it. I think it's gotten out of whack. No matter what direction, it's just gotten out of whack. I'm gonna pick on Representative Tyson here because I know they have some bills and things. We want to protect our blue, and we want to
absolutely
uphold them and not make it harder for them to do their job. Wouldn't you agree that it's going on in the legislature?
I agree. You know, in the Republican caucus, there's five or six retired either police chiefs or sheriffs. And there's actually one currently active duty chief deputy from down in Brunswick County. So we get we certainly understand the police and law enforcement side of what needs to happen in the legislature. But I'm just going to say this. That this country has a lot more in common, black, white, Republican, Democrat, than we do in differences. And I have witnessed this. that the press does everything that they absolutely can to try to divide this country by any way imaginable. And I'm just sorry, but that's the way I feel after being up in Raleigh for a while. They want to pick at the differences, sometimes big differences, sometimes trivial things, and try to drive a wedge, and that creates a news cycle. And a news cycle oftentimes doesn't last very long, but I would say that most people, Chief, do respect the law enforcement. Not all, but most people do.
I can tell you this much, going in and day out with the New Bern police and also the sheriff's deputies in court every day, I go up to them and thank them, and a lot of people go up and thank them. You have a whole bunch of new young police officers. It's like 21 Jump Street out there. That's what I call them. That's what I call them when I see them all there together. They're these bright, polite young people who just want to protect and serve, and to have justice, like you just said. You know, I don't think you don't hear too many people talking about justice, and to have a chief coming down and saying we want justice for all, and to have a mentor like that is only going to make our guys better. And by the way, I've been working, defending criminals here for a long time, and I've always liked the way our New Bern Police Department does stuff. They fight hard. They tell the truth. They do tell the truth, and they fight hard for what they believe in. And at the end of the day, I have a lot of respect for them.
Yeah,
Well, I feel the system and our criminal justice system does not work unless. Let me restate that. The criminal justice system is an adversarial system. It is. And in order for justice, for lack of a better term, to occur, there has to be an advocate as there is a prosecutor. So I kind of teased you a minute ago. I said, I won't hold it against you.
You'd be the only one.
But it's critically important for our system to have advocates for all defendants. Because our system dictates that all people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. It is the government's responsibility to prove guilt. It is not a defendant's responsibility to prove that they're innocent. That's why they, when asked, do you plead guilty or not guilty, they're not asking them, do you plead guilt or innocence? I mean, it's a fundamental principle maybe beyond this. I can get pastoral about this because I teach this constitutional law at the college level, and I try to tell young people, believe me, we have hundreds of years of trial and error trying to get this right. And when somebody is, quote, let out on a technicality, there's a reason for that. It's not because a guilty person has walked free. It's we're going to have a system that is built around ensuring that we put guilty people in prison. Because at the end of the day, I would rather let 10 guilty people go free than to put one innocent person in prison. In fact, I'll go so far as to say I'd prefer to put 1,000 guilty people on the street than put one innocent person in prison. What a tremendous tragedy that would be to put an innocent person in prison.
It's a breath of fresh air.
You know, it is, but we are fortunate. You know, the biggest things we face right now, and I know that one of your first meetings as soon as you came to New Bern was with Sheriff Chip Hughes, and that's what we fight is the drug epidemic. And
right.
I understand from our national news is that they believe because of the open border situation we're facing right now that in the next 6 months we're going to see an influx of drugs. You know, the opioids and the all of that was kind of on the downside when the borders were closed. With them being open now, we're going to see that influx more. There's going to be more in our communities, and that's of great concern.
It's going to be
many.
It's going to be the fentanyl. The Mexican cartels have learned how to make
yes,
fentanyl
and so
pills.
That's what the concern's going to be. So, you know, I would urge you from my seat to really partner with the sheriff to make sure that we are on top of this. I know you have a drug task force, and that's going to be a priority. But to me, that is the priority in our community is ridding the drugs. And I know you feel the same way too, Steve, because We've battled this for a long
First of all,
time.
Steve, it is so nice to see you.
It's good to be here.
I know you're up there.
He's
you're working hard.
Week.
We hear rumors all the time of you just working, burning the midnight oil. It's like, does Steve even exist? But to see you down here in person, it's nice to see you.
Well, it's good to be in Newbern, I can tell you. It'd be good to be in Craven County, I should say.
Yeah.
I represent the entire county.
Yes, you do. But, you know, that's going to be... I would think, you know, I want to make sure we're really strong in that area and partnering. And I think it is. You can't do it yourself. The sheriff can't do it himself. But together, I think you all can really do a great job in trying to rid our streets of drugs. And you know.
Have you met Chip?
Yes, I have.
Yes, it was.
Do you, hold on. You guys go to the same barber.
We should. I actually found a brand new barber, and I'm extremely happy with him. His name is Mike, and his barbershop is right down the street from police headquarters.
Awesome.
And I needed a haircut, believe it or not. I call this the Charlie Brown. And so
there's a name for that.
I call it that.
All right.
And so I said, well, there's a barber right down there. I just walked down there, and what a wonderful man he is. And I told him, Mike, you're my barber now.
Awesome.
But to your point about meeting the sheriff, yes. And we had a great conversation, and we didn't talk strategic planning or anything like that. It was just a meet and greet. But we agreed that as a force multiplier, we need to work together.
Absolutely.
Because what happens in Craven County comes into New Bern and vice versa.
Right.
And we both have the same mission at the end of the day. My philosophy is this. And I'll share it with you and your listeners, and I've shared it with many people. I shared it with the people I talked to in Duffyfield and around the city, is that drug addicts need treatment.
Right.
Drug dealers need to go to jail.
Yeah, and that's the difference.
Right.
And that's what we need to do, is get help for our addicts and get them in programs before they end up dead. And that's been the biggest scourge for our community. I don't know, about a year or so ago, it was like every other week, we were seeing something in the paper.
At the height of it, I was losing 17 clients a year.
This morning I read an incident report. We deployed Narcan on a subject who had OD'd, and this was the third time we had deployed Narcan on him. And you're right, these are not pharmaceutical-grade opioids. This is heroin laced with fentanyl, which is, by the way, so much more potent. And the drug dealer can cut it the way they want to make the profit that they're looking for. But they're not interested in the safety of their clients.
Let me tell you a little story, and then we'll jump in. You know, I represent drug dealers. So I have a unique opportunity to talk to and find out. And it's like... And I was asking one of them about the fentanyl, and there's no formula. It's like, how did you learn how to do it? He goes, I don't know how to do it. He's in prison now, by the way. He sat on his kitchen table and just mixed it together. It's like, this is what you're doing. And it's like, nobody taught him. This is really how it comes down to it. They just cut it. They cut it with a soap-like substance too. There's another soap-like substance, and they just mix it until it looks good and less glassy, I guess is what he said. And that is all the foresight, and that's all that goes into it. So I agree with you. Judge Nobles always used to say, and I love, you know, Judge John Nobles?
Mm-hmm.
Judge Nobles would say just exactly what you said. Drug dealers need, or drug addicts need help, but bury those drug dealers under the jail.
Because they're the ones that are putting it on the
street. But a lot of times it goes together. You know, you start getting into, you're a drug addict, and then in order to afford all this crap, you got to, you know, deal a little on the side. And that's the hard area.
So next thing we'll talk about, you know, of course, we had a budget session this week. You know,
I'm going right to sleep if you're talking about the budget.
I don't know who that is other than if Eric knows. But anyway, we had our budget session this week, and one of the things we've talked about is body cams. And so, you know, there was a lot of discussion. We don't currently have body cams, and it's in our budget to purchase them for the police department. But we talked about other options, which I think are going to come back really expensive when you did that. But, you know, I feel, and I think you got the sense from the Board of Aldermen, that we want the best and brightest. We want to protect our officers, mm-hmm. and we want to protect our citizens. So there's technology now beyond the body cam. You can buy the body cam. Then you can order special holsters so that if you try to pull your gun, it records, is it the gun? Is it the taser? Is that correct how that works?
That is correct, yes.
And so, you know, it was pretty much unanimous about, from the Board of Aldermen, hey, find out how much that costs. We want the best because we don't want a situation to happen where somebody thought they were pulling a taser and they pulled a gun. And we want to make sure that we keep everybody safe. But I think it's really important, and I'm glad you brought that to us, that our officers do have body cams. We've been very fortunate, I guess, in the past that we've never had to use them. But
that is true. Well, what we currently have is in-car cameras. But the reality is, you know, unless the event is occurring right in front of the police car,
right,
you're not going to see the event. The body-worn cameras, and I can tell you, you know, being in the profession 30 years, I've seen a lot of advancement. And I remember when this first came out, and I said to myself, this is going to be a great tool for law enforcement. And it's I didn't really realize how great of a tool it's going to be for the community to build trust and legitimacy. But what I saw early on was officers were saying, I'm not wearing that. This is Big Brother trying to get me. Well, now fast forward 2021, police officers won't go on the street without them. And my officers want them because it gives or it provides context. And the thing about the what we call the Bluetooth activation device, it's a sensor that is embedded in the holster. So when the holster is pulled, it automatically activates the body-worn camera. Not to get too technical, the body-worn camera is always recording, but it's on a 30-second loop.
Oh, all right.
And so until the officer literally touches the button on the front of it, it captures all the previous 30 seconds and then moves itself forward. So you wouldn't want the body-worn camera on while you're eating breakfast or using the bathroom or talking to your wife on the phone. So, but you do want to have it on when you're engaged in a legitimate law enforcement activity. But there have been times in the profession where a police officer is confronted with a deadly force situation. The last thing they're thinking about is pushing this button. They're thinking about drawing their gun. They're thinking about tactics. And so there have been many officer-involved shooting situations where the body camera was not activated. So Axon Taser, which is the leading manufacturer in the industry, came up with this device that when you pull your firearm, it sends a signal out. Not only will it activate the officer's body camera, but every officer in the area, their body cameras pop up as well. And the same thing occurs with the taser. You pull the taser out, boom, it activates. Now, most departments, to include ours, I'm still working on our policy. I think it is a good policy. It is a policy that has worked in my former agency and other agencies. Build in strategies to ensure that we capture all footage that we need. But that technology is certainly going to help us.
Excellent. Excellent. Steve.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think so far? Steve's been Mr. Craven County.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think that, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, there's, I don't see any problem with having a camera. So I think it's wonderful, Chief.
Right.
And, and appreciate you.
So we're going to skip over to you. So tell me what's going on in Raleigh really quick. Notice some bills are passing, one which Newbern's keeping an eye on. So what's going on?
I'm not sure which one you're keeping an eye on. There's a lot of
all of them, Steve. We got cameras on you.
What is that, HB 731 or something like that we talked about? I know.
That's the one. Yeah, well, that's the one a few of the, you know, downtown folks.
Right. We talked about.
Asked to look into, and honestly, so that's when we met a week ago.
And it passed the House. I'm glad.
What is it?
I was
talking the code.
Well, you know, the chief may not like it.
Legalizing marijuana?
And you don't have to do it, but it does give a municipality or a county to set up what's called a social district. It could be
a A street?
One street. It could be a couple of blocks or whatever, to where you could carry your drink from inside the restaurant, outside the restaurant, maybe walk down the street and window shop. You don't have to do it, doesn't require you to do it, but it gives you the authority.
I thought we were going to talk about decriminalizing marijuana.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure that's coming. Max is listening.
We may want to talk a little bit about that. But so anyhow, I was shocked at how fast that it went through committee and then went to the House floor. But, of course, it's got to go to the Senate. And the Senate and the House are like two different chambers, but their philosophies are oftentimes much different. And there's reasons for that, just like it is up between the Congress and the Senate in Washington. But so anyhow, if it passes and the governor signs it, then, you know, you can have that authority.
I remember when Sabrina and I had to try to get a cabaret license for even to have tables on the street.
Yeah.
They were talking about the Satan and demons and the children were all going to be, you can't sit on the street drinking a beer on a table. It's like, you remember?
Yeah, we did. And it's just as time goes on. I mean, I remember I was in New Bern when we still had what they know as blue laws. So, you know, nothing was open until after 12 on Sunday and most businesses were closed on Sunday. So I still remember, you know, things like that. So, you know, as years go on, things do change. And that's a testament to having a representative that comes and talks to community leaders, business leaders, residents, and then he takes them back and works within the structure of the legislature to pass bills. And that's what's really important for our community. And, you know, another issue that Steve has worked on, we're thankful for, is the abandoned boat issue. So, you know, the city of New Bern sent a resolution up to the state saying, look, we need help in dealing with people who are abandoning their boats out in the waterway, and then we got to haul them off and take care of them. So, you know, they have passed some legislation which will help us in dealing with that. So that's how we have to work together hand in hand. The only thing that we haven't worked on hand in hand, I'm still messing with this election stuff, but, you know, I don't – have we had any resolution?
No, I briefly talked to Jeff Odom about that, or texted him anyhow. The chairman of the elections committee in the House is a couple of doors down from me, so I talked to him on a regular basis. His background, he's an attorney, but he's also he was the chairman of the county board of elections in his county. He said they'll probably pass some legislation that will allow cities to do whatever they want this year. If they want to extend it, the terms a year, you know, to
right. We're about at that
2 years,
anyway.
You know, whatever you're probably going to want to do, but he's not confident that he's going to have they're not going to have the census data and have everything broken down. And
now this board of aldermen is fine. Just let them sit there for a while. Honest to God, they're doing a good job.
It's easy for you to say.
You hear that, Jeff? Alderman Jeff Odom? You guys are doing a fine job. Just stay there for another couple
years. And there has been, there was a bill that Norm Sanderson had passed in the Senate, and it was sent over to us, and it was to allow Trent Woods to align with even-year elections. They're on odd cycle. I think every municipality is.
And except for New Bern.
Yeah, New Bern now. But so I reached out to Havelock and Dover and River, some of the other municipalities, and as it turns out now, all of them are going to sign on to have even-year elections except for, I think, the city of New Bern and Vanceburg. You know, and that's your prerogative.
Well, it's not my prerogative. I totally disagree with it. It's a waste of money. There's no reason that we can't just go to even year November. They just don't want to do that. They don't want to do they're afraid of the runoff. They feel like the runoff is necessary. We need a runoff. You know, it'll, again.
Well, that's up to you. That's up to the city.
I'm one vote, and that's all that matters. I was just trying to save my constituents' money so I can give more money to the police department because they're always looking for extra money and extra.
But it does say, in the case of Havelock, I called up the mayor and he said, let me check into it. And he got back with me the next day. He said it would save them about $15,000 or $17,000. He said, we definitely want to do it. So,
you know how much it would save? New Bern,
$27,000.
No, our election. So if we leave it the way it is, October in an odd year with a November runoff, $70,000.
And we could be using that money for
So if we go to an even year, November election, okay, mm-hmm. one election in an even year, the cost will be $5,000.
All right, never mind. Throw the bums out now,
that
Steve.
That is the difference. So. And, you know, I just, it's a no-brainer for me. Is it, can it, you know, be hard to, if you've got four or five people with no runoff ability, could that be hard? Yes, it is, but. You know, I don't know how to state it otherwise.
All right, hey, another question that Chief was getting into. Uncle Joe looks like he's going to federally legalize marijuana. What's your thought? And Steve, what's your thought?
Well, I'm kind of right now neutral on that, but I have seen a tendency, and I'd rather have the Chief's opinion than mine, because just for the record, I don't smoke marijuana, but a lot of people, an awful lot of people do, but. I've had people tell, and I don't know about just legalizing it, decriminalize it, maybe, but as far as medical marijuana, I've had some people that were, you know, pretty straight shooters that have told me stories of their parents or people that they know that marijuana seemed to really be a help them along the process in certain diseases. So that's all I know. Chief?
So, I'm going to take the coward's way out of this. It is a
You'd be a good politician.
It is a political issue, mm-hmm. and I try to stay out of politics. I'm apolitical, and I want to stay apolitical. I do vote, by the way. I never miss an opportunity to vote, and I do have feelings. I will say this. There is a term called the laws of unintended consequences. And I would strongly recommend that those that are considering just speak to those that have it now. Go out to Colorado.
Exactly. I agree.
To California and ask them, how are things going? And if you believe that the decriminalization at the state level of marijuana is going to drive out the black market, I just simply suggest go ask them how they're doing with that.
Hold on.
Good answer. And just let me inject one more thing, Lee, and that is it's not anything happening in the General Assembly with that, nor do I think it will for a long, long time. It's a long way from getting any traction in the General Assembly.
All right, and just so you said that, and I never even thought that. What's the answer? Did it drive out the black market in Colorado?
No, it did not.
All right, I didn't even think about that question, but I guess the black market, because it's probably still cheaper to go on the black market than it is to go to some tax.
They can grow it cheaper in Mexico than here. Maybe.
It's had a lot of residual problems, too, such as a lot of DUIs and different things like that that they're dealing with. A lot of people are unable to do their manufacturing jobs because, again, it's in their system, have to come and work with machinery, different things like that. So it has definitely presented a problem. No doubt about it, it's presented a problem. It's something we're going to have to look at and deal. Because I know, you know, and I hear we got our good friend Max out there. I know he's listening. You know, he's been very, very passionate, and I'm sure you'll meet Max at some time, in trying to get the Board of Aldermen to do a resolution of support for medical. He's on the medical marijuana. And, you know, I understand we've had people, you know, a citizen after citizen testifying that what it's done for them because their back hurts or other issues they've had, and it's really helped them. But as I've told him, he needs to start at the top and work down rather than work down and go to the top, because if Raleigh won't approve it, we could have resolutions all day long and it's not going to matter. And
I don't see it going anywhere in the General Assembly right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's who he needs to be lobbying. Is different people.
Oh, I hear from Max.
I'm sure you do, and that's what I've told him to do. I told him to process it that way, but I still have a lot of respect for anybody who's passionate about whatever and stays focused on that. You have to respect that, because he's trying to do his research. He's trying to bring it to the forefront and give it some voice, and I get that. I really do. Anything else we need to be paying attention to in the General Assembly?
Well, it's just, you know, it's kind of crazy right now. There's been upwards of 900 bills introduced in the past 2 months. So trying to just track them all, it's just tough to do.
I'll tell you the one thing I want to see a bill for. When are we going to take away some of these executive order powers.
Well, you can pass them, but he's got to sign them.
I know, so and that, he's going to veto him. And
there have been some introduced in the House, and I think there have been some passed in the House. However, you know, they have to be signed by the governor. So.
Right. So you think we understand June 1?
Yeah, that's the rumor floating about.
That the state will open up and that people, restaurants 100%, you know, everybody can gather outside, all of that. We hear that's coming down the pike and that the mask mandate will be lifted soon thereafter. Well, are you hearing that?
Well, we've all heard that, so we'll
have to
see. See.
Yeah. We'll wait and see. Okay, well, I'm waiting. I'm just definitely waiting.
Sabrina, I'm going to depart the building and let you finish up with the chief. I know you got a lot to talk about him, but I would like to come back and talk to you guys sometime.
Okay.
What do you got, an early morning meeting?
I do have a meeting.
Well, Steve,
at the county.
Oh, wait. So. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Steve,
you
thank
know that.
You very much. Yeah,
we appreciate it. Good to see you, too.
And you look well. You look healthy.
Well, thank you.
It's all that good state living. So, Chief, again, I'm looking at your budget and the things that you're going to be doing. I'm excited that we're going to be forming a fifth team. Which is really good.
What is that? What's a fifth team?
So we're divided. His officers are divided into teams. And so we're going to add a fifth team because we have some school resource officers that are no longer. The city of New Bern is not going to be using school resource officers. It's all going to go under the sheriff's department in the county. We made that decision last year. And so now these officers will still be employed. Nobody's losing their job. Right. We're going to be forming an additional team to give more policing. And that's what we want to do. So they're going to be forming. He'll have enough officers now to make a fifth team. And I think that's good because, again, people want to see our officers. And I think you've seen that with just coming through Duffy Field. And that's part of Duffy Field is in my ward. And that was the response I had gotten from the citizens there as well. We never see policemen here. So they do want to see. They want policemen out walking around. They want to know who they are. They want to speak to them. I don't think, it's not that they don't want them there. They just want to see them and develop that relationship with them.
That's right.
And so I hope with having an additional team, it'll give you more resources to do things like that. And we've got some challenges coming up in the next few years with the construction over on 70. Because, the city limits extends to Taberna and Carolina Colors and Blue Water Rise and that area there. And that means that we still have to have policemen out there, fire out there. We do have a fire station, but it's going to take extra resources because it'll be a little more difficult to get out there because of the road construction. So, these are all challenges that I'm sure the chief is going to rise up and meet. And
when is that construction going to start in earnest?
Well, they're already doing things right now. Buildings are coming down. What they have to do is the side roads, the service roads where you have on either side of 70, those will become 70 in essence. So you'll have
a super highway down the middle.
You'll have an eastbound lane. There are two lanes eastbound, two lanes westbound on the opposite side. So they have to shore that up and prepare that for the heavy traffic that will come in either direction while they're actually constructing the main highway. So again, about a 3-year process.
That's going to be a pain in the butt for anybody living out there.
But
I live out there.
Well, I got to tell you, when I came down here, what I'm used to is a city is one contiguous land.
Yes.
You're right there. Here, when I was driving around, they said that's county, that's city. Oh, by the way, that shopping center way over there, that's a city, but that's county. I need a road map to figure out where I'm at.
Well, it's because 60 years ago, we weren't very smart, unfortunately, as a city. And when we had the powers to annex, we did not do it. So like Trent Woods should really be part of New Bern. We in essence protect that area because it's all surrounded by the city of New Bern. Our parks are being used by them. All our resources, yet they incorporated themselves so that the city of New Bern could not annex them. You got Riverbend out there, same thing. They incorporated themselves so the city of New Bern could not annex them.
Can we annex James City now?
No, because nobody is allowed to forcibly annex anymore. That was taken away years ago. So all they could do is request. Now, somebody comes to us and saying, we would like to be part of New Bern, just as Taberna did, Carolina Colors did, Blue Water Rise did. They asked because they were all county at one time, but they asked to come into the city. Why? Because they wanted our water and our sewer. Because these developments could not expand and grow without water and sewer.
Who polices James City then?
The sheriff. The sheriff's department, because it's county. It's county.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know he's getting ready to run off because he's gonna he's gonna take off for the weekend. But
I
actually have a 9 o'clock meeting.
Okay, so yeah. these are challenges that I know are going to be coming up in the future. But yes, that's an issue for all of us, that we are not a contiguous city, but yet we provide the amenities to the contiguous area, and you know it's a challenge, but I have no doubt that you will rise to the occasion. So the other thing before you leave, and I've already talked to him and everybody yells at me about, is parking. So hopefully we'll talk more about that in downtown. That's been a hot button issue for a while now, and we're trying to do the best we can, but keep our spaces open for as many shoppers and visitors as we can. I know we've talked about walking patrols. I know we've talked about more resources in neighborhoods that feel they need more resources. But Chief, I just want to tell you, we're ecstatic to have you here. And we certainly, I know I speak for more than myself in saying that this Board of Aldermen totally supports you and your mission and trying to have a very strong and visible and active police force. I think it's really important to who we are as a city.
Well, thank you. This, I guess we've been on the air 50 minutes, and it feels like we've only been here 5 minutes. So welcoming environment.
Yes.
What I liked was there was one other, you know who Robert Morgenthau is? He was the longtime district attorney for Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And when you went to get a job for him, he would ask you, and this was people would get kicked out. What's the most important part of being a district attorney? And if you didn't say justice, you're gone. Mm-hmm. And when you said justice, I'm so impressed, Chief.
Thank you.
I'm impressed with everything, but just you guys are out there. It's for justice, and I like your definition. So
thank you.
Right. Well, we appreciate you being here. And anytime you want to come and talk about anything having to do with the police department, you always got a seat here. So you can come and talk to us. We love our policemen. We love to see them out there. And, you know, like Lee said, it's good to see your young force out there. And that's a good way to grow them up. And, you know, I think it's good. I'm excited. I feel really good about where we're at and where we're going to.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, have a great day. Thank you so much. Good to see you, and happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yes, have a great weekend. Great weekend. Well, Lee, you know, we had a budget meeting this week.
You're going to put me to sleep. We're not talking about a budget.
Weekend. We went from 5:30 to 10:45. It was a long night, but we got it done. And I think we're in a good place. We still have a lot of questions.
I'm just a little disappointed in no Irish accent. I really am. Hey, Kelly's not feeling well today. Kelly,
sorry.
Feel better. She's got a little bit of a cold coming on.
Well, I'm sorry. And I just want to everybody that's listening, we've had some technical issues this morning, but our entire show will replay after New Bern Live ends. It's going to be replayed. Of course, you always hear us at 6 o'clock on your local radio station, and we really want to thank everybody for hanging with us. And I'm sorry we couldn't do comments today, and we've had these technical issues, but that's okay. We're growing.
It was our first day without Charles.
Yeah, so we're growing and going, and between Dean and Eric, we're going to figure it out. And I know we look forward. We talked about Small Business Center at the Community College, and I hope to have them on very, very soon. And
does Eric know where the air conditioner is in this place?
Yeah, right. We talked about that this morning. We'll try to work on that. So these are all the little things we have to work on, but big weekend in downtown New Bern this
weekend.
What's
going on?
So tomorrow we have the regional antique car show. So it's not the local, it's a regional one. So you're going to see about 60 cars on our streets in downtown. Plus the restaurants during the day will be out in the streets. So it's going to be a really great atmosphere. Dining in the streets. The streets will close tonight at 5 o'clock. And I don't know that you'll have many restaurants out tonight because it's supposed to rain. But they will close at 5 o'clock tonight so that some of the cars can load in for the car show. And then tomorrow, you'll have the cars out here. It's going to be a beautiful day. Restaurants will be out dining in the evening. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. So I know Kelly's not your mother, but make sure Major knows that Kelly's his mother.
Major knows that.
Okay. And
you know what? You know what I'm going to make? I'm going to make Ruth Chris chicken, stuffed chicken. That's Kelly. That's what Kelly wanted. So I'm getting the recipe. It's a secret, so don't tell her.
Okay. We could do that. Well, I think my Mother's Day is going to be really, you know, this is how I feel. I feel that Mother's Day should be every day. I don't think there should be a special day to honor mothers. We should always honor our mothers in every way, shape, and form.
I agree.
You know, I didn't realize this till I went to Israel. So when I went to Israel, I went to the city of Magdala. And, of course, it's the home of Mary Magdalene. And they had uncovered an early Jewish temple there. And they believe that Jesus probably actually worshipped in that temple. They were building a hotel and uncovered this as they were excavating to build the foundations. Huh. And found it, and it was really in great shape. The foundations, the flooring, you could see the beautiful mosaic.
It just got buried with sand or something?
Yeah, you know, it's just how things go. But anyway, they built a beautiful church over this area, the original foundations. And when we went in there, it's in a rotunda. And you have the names of all the women of the Bible. So each pillar, you know.
Was one of them a pillar of salt?
You know, pillar. You had, you know, Mary, of course. You had Esther. You had Ruth. You had Deborah. And it was just beautiful. And then there was one that didn't have anything on it. And the guy told us that that represented all the mothers of the world. And somebody said, well, why is that? And they said, because mothers are the ones who really pass the faith and really set the tone of the household. So it was so important to honor all the mothers. And, you know, it really hit me at that point, the importance that God has placed in women to be mothers. Now, understanding that there's some that want to be mothers and haven't been able to or choose not to be, and I don't mean any disrespect to that notion, but with that being said, everybody had a mother. Everybody who's on this earth had a mother. And that mother went through something to conceive the child, to birth the child, and to try to raise the child. And, you know, you have to respect that. No matter what, you have to respect that. Some did a great job of it. Some didn't do a good job at it at all. But you have to respect the fact that mothers are that nucleus of our world. And, you know, while my mother is not here, my grandmothers are not here, you know, they have a place in heaven, and I'll rejoin them soon. But there's a
not that soon.
There, yeah, you never know. But you have to stay ready. But there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that talks about, you know, that the children will rise up and call her blessed, and so will her husband. I'm just paraphrasing, and that is so true. That's all I want from my children, is that they honor and respect me every day, not just on Mother's Day. And that my husband respects the fact that I am the mother of his children. And so that's all you can ask.
I think you got that down.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's what we need to look for in these days ahead. You know, it's a sad day for people whose mothers are not around. And I'm saddened with them. But I'm also hopeful, because I want to celebrate the day with my children and my grandchildren, because I am here. And I want to make the best of the day with my family.
So get up, go to church, and just spend the day together?
Yeah, no, I don't even know that. You know what I like to do? I like to cook. So I'll probably cook for the family. You know, they say, oh, you know, it's Mother's Day, you shouldn't cook. But Mother's Day is about mothers. And, you know, that's my role. I love cooking. I love having my family at the table. So I would rather do that than go someplace. And, you know, so that's just, you know, how I feel about it. And hopefully we'll all be able to be together. And you know, we try to do that every Sunday anyway. So I hope that this Sunday we can do that.
A very Italian thing.
Yeah, you know, I make a pot of sauce. I make some meatballs. You know, everybody will be happy. I hope. If not, they'll throw them at me.
Nobody's ever thrown one of your meatballs at you. Hey, but look, it's 8:59. Thank you, Neep, for a great job today.
Yeah, I'm glad they put the clock back.
Thank you for the clock. Charles, we still want our clock back.
Yeah, that's
I got to go meet a guy in a black dress.
I understand. So it's been a good day. We want to thank Chief Gallagher for coming on. We want to thank...
He just really is a professional, educated
representative,
man.
Steve Tyson. Always good to have our friend here visiting us. And just a huge... Shout out to all mothers. Happy Mother's Day. And again, our deepest respects to the Frazier family at the loss of Pat Frazier this week.
And I'm going to go by and look at her picture.
Yeah, you should. It's a great tribute to her, and she was just a beautiful, beautiful woman. So, everybody, thanks for joining us today. Sorry about the technical issues. Circle back. We've shared the video. Circle back and check our show.
It was off the air for a little bit.
Well, we had some technical issues, but we're gonna get there next week. We'll be bigger and better, and that's all there is. So, and if you're interested in coming on City Talk and being a guest, contact Eric Queen here at New Bern Live. Just reach out to him, and we're happy to get people on here. We want to talk about what's going on in New Bern. That's really important. So,
absolutely.
Guess
what? What are we gonna do?
I'll see you on the sidewalk.
See you on the sidewalk.
Take care. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day.
It is hot.
I know. I see you sweating.